Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut, and every Monday you will be joining me, Eric Feng, and SG Budget Babe Dawn on our weekly segment, Wise and Shine, where we leverage on the latest quirky happenings out there on the internet to answer many of your burning social and personal development questions. Yes, we're all sick and tired of talking about money, so welcome back to Wise and Shine.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The last thing you ever want to do with your loved one, right, and your couple is, I think you better need therapy work. That's horrible.
Oh my God, but it's increasingly common.
It's horrible. Yes. It's irresponsible because therapy is something a person needs to be responsible for and they need to want it, but you cannot use it as a weapon.
Okay, so welcome back to Wise and Shine. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut. We have a guest in the house today, but before that,
this is Eric, Mr. Positivity.
And I'm Dawn, SG Budget Babe.
Oh, hi, my name is Remy. One half of the Woke Salaryman.
Yeah.
The financial pitch, if you guys don't follow.
Don't act shy. Yeah.
I'm trying. Yeah.
I'm trying. Yeah, it's great. So Ray Ming in the house. And I got him in the house today, of course, for a reason because he's also
You got him.
Don got him in the house today because of this particular topic that we wanted to talk about. Because he's also super passionate about today's topic, which revolves around mental health. And the ultimate question that we want to answer today is, do we all need a therapist? Okay, because I wanted to do this topic because I feel like a lot of money is starting to move into this space. Mm-hmm. So it's creating this like next thing that you need to have. You know, it's like maybe there was a period of time it was a car, it was a condo. Now it's like, you know, clarity, you know, like mental health. You know, it's like a next thing to hit, right? And I'm always very cautious when businesses tell you that this is a next thing to hit, right? And but I did go for therapy before. So I want to bring this up, you know, this topic today of like, do we all need a therapist? Right. And I think a lot of bosses are very concerned about this topic because now everything is hashtag self-care, hashtag mental health. Like, oh, I cannot work mental health, very self-care. You know, so yeah, on the floor, anybody has any thoughts about like, do we all need a therapist?
Oh, my answer is definitely yes, coming from the world of self-help. Absolutely.
Oh, that's bias. That's a bias.
But I have to state okay. Disclaimer, right? Yeah. It's true. Everybody needs it.
My view is no.
But wait, yes first. Tell me why. Why does everyone need a therapist?
Okay, so all of us have traumas. What is a trauma? Trauma is essentially an incident that happened that created a negative impact to that person. So a very obvious one would be abandonment from parents or maybe get bullied in class. The problem is back then when we were young, we do not know how to understand that situation. So I'll give you a case in point. Like let's say you got bullied, right? And then the minute you got bullied, your mind cannot conceive that and your mind will start to protect it by coming up with a narrative. But that narrative is what gets us in trouble. So the narrative could be... So I got beaten. And then narrative is, oh, you know what? I need to become a bully so that no one else bully me anymore. Or is, you know what? I suck physically. I'm not good. I need to study hard so that no one will bully me again. Hmm. So all these are narratives. And eventually those narratives are what bring us to adulthood. But then suddenly we realize that how come I feel that compelling need to always be nice to people? I cannot speak up for myself. I cannot be aggressive. Why I can't? But actually, if you trace back, oh yes, of course, I've done work on myself.
Always very nice. I'm very beta. Yeah. But yes,
please. Right. And then you realize that the reason is no amount of training of being assertive is helping because I have this past conversation that I need to heal. So I say that if you face a lot of problems in life that doesn't seem to be able to be solved through basic training, then maybe it's time for you to look at a therapist to examine what are some of the traumas that you have and deal with them.
But the question to answer is, do we all need a therapist?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone needs a therapist.
Because no one have perfect parents. It all starts with parents because parents are the gods of us.
I see kiasuparent.com is going to like attack you.
Hi.
this point in time.
If you talk to any therapists that do work, right, self-work, they always tell you that when we are born, who are the two figureheads that we look at as our parents? They are our so-called gods. Everything that they do is the world to us. Mm. So if our parents are not evolved, they're not trained, which understandably they are not, then they're going to say a lot of things to us that will eventually unconsciously damage us. Mm. It's not their fault. It's just that no one is trained.
Okay. Yeah. So everybody needs a therapist. Yes. What are the main things?
Well, I actually disagree, but not because, you know, I don't think people won't benefit from therapists. It's more of like how the sentence is structured. Because everyone is a strong word, right? And need is also a strong word. I think how I might say is like, most people might benefit from having a therapist. Because I think also when it comes to therapy, there are a lot of stuff like costs involved that make it like unpractical for people to go for therapy. I think I read an article recently that said like a woman spend like $2,000 a month on therapy. I think that would be way out of budget for a lot of young adults here. So I mean, for that reason, I think like going to therapy is like good to have. But I think first of all, you should try to see whether you can solve the problems like on your own first. I think sometimes a therapist is a substitute for healthy relationships that you have in your life. And if those people can serve the role of a therapist, although not entirely replace, I think that's fine. But however, when it comes to a situation where you can no longer lean on your friends or loved ones for support, they feel like overwhelmed because you have entered a space that's too dark for even them to handle, then a therapist is where I would turn to. Let's say if I face a little bit of hardship in my life, a therapist won't be the first person I turn to.
Not your first safety net.
Yeah, exactly.
Which kind of feels like it's the thing these days, right? Like, oh, you need to talk to your therapist. It becomes a simple rebuttal when the other person is giving you a little bit of a hard time. It even feels like that. I don't know if you guys have...
If it becomes like that, then it's a problem, right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like...
It's
becoming like that. It's becoming a simple rebuttal that, oh yeah, you need some self-care.
And that's why we need to address this topic before it becomes an actual problem. Yes.
So you say no, right? Why do you say no?
My view is actually very similar to Raymond. I feel that the role of a therapist can be replaced by friends, your trust circle. And it's not one friend, but different friends play different roles. So if it's like childhood trauma relating to, let's say, eating disorders, then someone who has a healthier relationship with food or someone who might be working as a nutritionist or PT might be able to help you get out of that place. But if it's something else, then it could be another friend, another role model, another mentor. And I think if you have friends and people in your life who can play that role, like what you say, not that they are a substitute for therapies, but you don't need a therapy to help you get there because you know how to seek out the resources yourself. Whereas for people who don't have that, a therapist is kind of like a all-in-one place that you go to get the answers for all these things that other people in your life cannot give you.
Okay, so if you guys come in from a point like we don't have to use therapy as the first line of defense, maybe yes, then I agree. But there's
you're not so quick.
No. Okay. Now your point of stand is that okay, your friend can play the role of the therapy, or someone who has a healthier conversation in that area can be, right? However, there's a but, because fundamentally, right, the number one rule of coaching or therapy is the client must be coachable.
Yes.
Because if the client doesn't want to be coached, regardless of me signing up for therapy, because sometimes I might sign up for therapy for the wrong reason. I just want you to assure me that, validate me for whatever reason, but I'm not willing to work on my shit. With that as a basis, then therapy is not going to work. Even friends won't work. So I think we need to remember this, that whoever is going to go for therapy, you need to ask yourself, are you really coachable? Are you willing to face your demons and your shit and your nightmares? And are you willing to change? Because change is very difficult.
But that fundamentally assumes that you even recognize that you need to change.
Which is
or,
where
you
know, self-awareness it's like comes
a demon
in.
Kind of thing. But what are some basic parameters that you will observe? You know, whether
if you
need
keep,
to solve this thing.
Oh, if you keep having the same cycle, if you see patterns,
elaborate.
You keep meeting the same, let's say relationship, romantic, you keep breaking, falling out of relationship. Like if the first time you fall out of relationship, yeah, you can blame the person. Second time, but if third time, fourth time, you are the common denominator here, you know. It's not a guy, it's not a girl. So when you start to notice a pattern where you keep making the same mistakes, you keep getting yourself into the same situation, perhaps it's time for you to wake up and think of, realize that maybe you can't solve the problem. Because Raymond, you say, right, that if you can solve it, that's great. But sometimes the problem comes because we can't solve it. Because if we can solve it, we would have already solved it. And sometimes our friends can't solve it because their friends are too close to you and they can't tell you the truth. And maybe you don't feel the safe space to share. That's where the therapist comes in. Therapist is able to give you neutral point of view create a safe space for you, but you must still want to work on yourself.
I will challenge the neutrality of therapists. Right? Okay, I don't think therapists are neutral. I mean, a lot of therapy work is based on DSM-5, right? Which is essentially the latest manual of like psychological disorders. You know, disorders is what they say or not, I say one. So don't cancel me. But if you really look at some of these things, it's an ongoing evolution in this game. So they're also learning along the way. You know, it's like, actually, how many people realize your doctors are guessing half the time? All right, they take best in class information and then they guess. Oh, like that. If cannot, 2 weeks later, you can't look for me. Fundamentally, it's a guess. Right. So actually, therapists, they are not neutral. They're also guessing and they come from a particular school of thought. So depending on which school of thought they come from, you know, it's a very different thing. I'll give you a simpler example, right? The twin uncle, the Zhen Jiu, the guy, Sensei, and then the chiropractor, right? All of them say each other no use one. If you go enough, because I go enough of all of them, they all say each other, why you go Zhen Jiu, no point one, put a needle inside, very dangerous. You know, like, why you go to a chiropractor, fake one, twist, 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 what use do they have? Right? But all of them are trying to solve some problem based on their school of thought. Right, whether it works for you or not, that's a different discussion. If the chiro works for you, great. Right, if the twin guy works for you, great. Right, but if you just go to one type of therapist or one type of like, you know, these kind of healers, right, and hey, they don't work, and you assume that they're all neutral and you know they're all, you know, with the good or their heart, they come from the same ground, then you are fundamentally you're doing yourself a disservice. So, which is why I don't believe that they are neutral. They come from a school of thought, and that's the part that we need to be clearer
okay.
on.
So maybe I help you understand the world of therapy, okay? So in the world of therapy, it's actually a spectrum. One end of the spectrum is what we call mentorship. The other end of the spectrum is called psychotherapist counselors. There's a middle ground, which is where I stand for. It's coaching. There's a big difference. So in mentoring is very much like this. Oh, you have this problem, is it? I used to have this problem too. This is how I solve it. You can try my way. That is the assumption, is that you can't solve it. I use my experience. I tell you what to do. Then the therapy side, the counselor side, it's all about, talk to me. You know, have conversation, chit-chat with me and just keep talking. That's why you see sometimes people say, how can it take so long? You know, talk, right? So that's the other school of thought, which is assuming that the patient can't solve their problem and then we need to help them solve the problem by listening to them. But I subscribe to the school of thought of everybody is empowered to solve their own problem. A properly trained, we use the word therapist, but actually therapists belong to that category. Whoever that is going to intervene, right, as a coach, needs to create a space for the person to want to change first and to have an empowered conversation that leads the person to realize that they have a problem, they want to change, and that they have to figure out their own solutions. Because then you can maintain neutrality. Because a coach, that if you go and check ICF, International Coach Federation, that regulates the coaches, there are 13 rules. And one of the rules is you're not supposed to give advice to your client. You're not supposed to impose your thoughts even to your clients. So it's no book, no rule book. It's I create a space, I have a conversation, I guide you into realizing things, and then you decide what is your plan of action. I subscribe to that middle. So there is neutrality in the intervention. Probably not at the extreme ends, but in the middle ground.
So Eric, when you say therapist, are you referring to, because it's the first time I'm hearing about the spectrum between coach and therapist. I mean, I was not aware of this. So when you say, does everyone need a therapist, does it apply to everyone along the spectrum?
So everyone needs to work on, needs someone to help them see their blind spots and to solve it.
Yeah.
But I have my thoughts that sometimes we can have a mentor. If let's say you just need advice, like you said, I need a friend to just tell me, but I can do it myself. But sometimes it's medical. Right, yep. And I need to go through trauma work and all. Then you need a therapy, some a little bit more medical side.
Understand.
Yeah, but I think majority don't belong their side. It belong to like, you know, I'm not happy with my work. I have a breakup. You know, I have grief. I lost someone. I don't think you need that kind of medical work. But you have there are functional coaches that can help you.
Because I think like the mainstream assumption of the word therapist is the other end.
And it's new to me. I today having this conversation realized that
that's the main assumption.
I
would never consider coaches as therapists.
In the world of therapy, there's so many. Because if you define therapy, therapy is essentially a healing process to help a person get out of that whatever that situation is.
But we must get the first thing out. There's no such thing as retail therapy, right?
If you use the word therapy, it doesn't solve the root problem.
It's like retail shiok, you know? I think that's more accurate than therapy.
What you call a handy plus.
Okay, so if you use your white broad
spectrum
definition of therapist, it will sound like you agree with most of us already, because like we were referring to therapist, like strictly the mainstream understanding of the term, right?
That's why I'll say that step number one is it's okay to seek therapy, but there are so many spectrum. We need to be very clear about what kind of help we need. Sometimes we just need mentoring help. Sometimes we need to have a person who is neutral to have a conversation and to empower us to make our change.
Yep.
But some of us may be not in that position and understandable because you are so damaged, so hurt emotionally that you really need someone to really just deal with you. And I say that because I've been through all three processes. Like I have mentors helping me in my business. I had a coach to help me through my confidence. But recently I had a lot of panic attacks. And it's not something that's very intellectual. I don't know where that panic attack come from. I have claustrophobia. That's when I realized that I need someone who can help me in a more unconscious level. Nothing to do with conversations.
Yeah.
And that's so, where you went for a therapist.
Yeah, that's why I feel that maybe the angle where I come from is everybody should proactively seek help to help yourself, but be open in how you can get help.
Fair.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah. And that's probably why you like this space a little bit better. Because our old space is very claustrophobic. Very small. It's like, what? That's square. Oh,
yeah,
it's
still an issue. Yeah.
I think also like, I like what you said on how it's about the unconscious. So therapists could be equipped to help you find the answers in your unconscious.
Yes.
But a friend or a coach may not be able to help you.
But it can help you find in the conscious.
Yeah. So if you're consciously aware and the solution to your problem that you seek can be found in the conscious domain, then you don't need a therapist. You do not necessarily have to pay for therapies.
No.
But if the problem, you search in your conscious domain and you can't find it, then it could be that it's something in your unconscious that you're not aware of, like a childhood generational trauma.
Yes.
And then that's where going through through proper trained therapies where they may like, you know, hypnotize you. Do they even do
no,
that?
No, they don't.
No, different interventions.
Different.
There's hypnotherapy.
Yes.
There is this, I don't know what's the official name for it, where they have sensors.
And many kinds. I've worked with
process work. Art therapy is also a form.
You don't even need to tell them anything.
Yeah.
As you draw, they are so trained to kind of know the color composition, your strokes, the strength of it. They can hypothesize and then they will lead you into like.
And there's maps as well. Maps don't even need to talk. They sense your energy and they heal you. So there's so many forms. And
are we going there? Very spiritual.
So that's why I feel that the number one is I hope that the listeners are open, you know. And unfortunately, I have to admit, like, you know, there are a lot of shenanigans. There are a lot of people who are who catch on
not
the trend.
I say one,
No, but because I'm from that world, right? Anything that is popular, people start to commercialize it.
Oh my goodness.
And commercialize, nothing wrong with that. But then other people who are not even legit, they start to think, oh wow, everybody is caring about mental wellness. Let's do a hocus pocus, you know. So I think our audience need to be discerning as well, to ask the right questions, to discern who is the legit one that can really help them.
Yeah. I come from the view that there's everything wrong with commercialization when it comes to this, right? No, because now everything is self-care. Everything is mental health. Everything, it's like this is like the next frontier of things you should spend on. You know, and that is that the basis of it is commercialization, right? Because there's a lot of money flowing into the space.
Marketers spoil everything.
Yeah, so everybody wants to. So it's like everybody is there. This is a new frontier. It's like if you don't have mental health, like you don't have like this like peace, namaste vibes, right? You are problematic. You know, like you're not good enough, right? And that is the part that I'm really very
understand.
Very concerned about. I don't think it's the next frontier, and I do believe that. There is a pace to some of these things, right? It's like an onion situation, right? You have some easy problems that you solve. Maybe sometimes just with a bunch of friends, right? Friends that are a little bit more aware of these things, you know, a bit more like sensitive with your emotions and all that. You can kind of solve those things, right? Or not say solve, maybe just pain relief is good enough. It's like these days, right? The borders have opened, people start flying. Where got mental health? No one care anymore. The Bangkok lah, you know, everything is like.
It came out when we were stuck.
Yeah. And that whole demon thing is so big, right? But now it's like, now that you can travel, who's still talking about mental health? No, I see article reduction in that space.
And fundamentally, that's the problem. That because we have so much distraction right now, we don't have to look at ourselves. We don't have to deal with the demons.
Oh, I challenge that view because I believe that sometimes it is, you need to give yourself space to slowly face those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not ready to it, you shouldn't force someone to go into it, right? And the reality is, something is only a problem when it does not serve you, right? So if your belief of like, let's say there's a very common belief out there, right? Like people like to talk about saving money and all that, right? And they will associate saving money and it, because money is a bit abstract, right? So what a lot of people do is they will get you to associate this money to the amount of hours you need to work. To get there. So in other words, what are they trying to do? They're trying to draw the pain of work to anchor the idea of money.
Mm-hmm.
So then you will be a bit more prudent. Right? It's like, oh, this one, buy this, I need to work 2 years. Wow, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. So it's a lot of that. But at some point, this idea no longer serves you, especially when you are trying to invest. When you're trying to allocate budget, you want to be a bit more technical, slightly less emotionally attached to it. Mm. Right? You want to be a bit more strategic. So this idea no longer serves you. So the belief has to go. Right? And for therapy work, right, sometimes these beliefs are like deeply seeded, that it takes time for them to open up. You know, like only recently I was sitting down there one day, and I was like, like this thing come knocking at my door, you know, like this random memory that I have probably dissociated and buried long ago started coming back. That is me giving myself space and me giving myself enough safety to then let these problems come out.
No, and so, perfectly fine.
Yeah, so the rush to intervention is a part that I'm a little bit more concerned
individually
about.
It's okay, but as you said, there's always going to be, like, if enough is enough, I think you're ready. What I disagree, or what I feel that we shouldn't be doing is we cannot use therapy as an excuse to not have to show empathy to people. You know how like sometimes like a person cry, we always like to do this, like we'll say, oh, don't cry, take tissue, right? From a psychological point of view, it's actually a very bad thing. Tissue is a very bad thing because you're supposed to allow the person to express. But because we're so uncomfortable with your tears, I'd rather ask you don't cry and tell you everything will be okay. And therefore, I refute all the negative emotions, which is actually still very useful.
Yeah.
So if people are starting to use that therapy as a weapon to not deal with your shit, then I think it's wrong.
But do you think the person says don't cry, not because they want to weaponize it, but maybe because like they just are unaware of it?
No, absolutely. They're just unaware. Right? They do not deal with it.
No, and I do feel that a lot of people, they have, if someone sees the other person cry or feel like, you know, not in the happy or best state, it is this person's inability to comprehend the situation. So they tell you, don't cry.
Yeah, no,
you
absolutely know? Yeah,
but
true.
But for me, I come from a very different school of thought, right? So if someone is grieving, it's like, grieve well.
But you see, where do you get that knowledge from?
I mean, I read some stuff and I also have some therapy work.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. So if all of us...
you just cornered me into agreeing that...
Oh, I make a good lawyer. but the point is that if we don't have to try to work on other people, I think that we can never work on other people.
Yeah, yeah.
The only person that we can work on is ourselves. We need to be responsible for ourselves. But the cool thing is that the minute you start working on yourself, that's when you realize a lot of things. That's when you start to have empathy for people's shit. And that's when you also learn not to say the wrong things because you realize that it's not going to serve that person. Yeah.
So the basis of right or wrong is whether it serves that person in that context.
In that context, whether it forwards the person's evolution or not. So I'll say that it's for you to decide whether you're ready for therapy. You don't have anybody, don't need marketers to tell you, don't need a government to tell you.
Yes,
you decide it.
Yes.
Right?
But I hope the government do more.
And the government is doing more. Yes. We just had a conversation with Minister Gan from Manpower together with TikTok because we are part of the mental wellness community. So they are.
Sorry, I don't think that is enough. I need institutions. Okay? It's not just marketing, all that. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, mental health is very expensive, all that. It's true, right? Because why? It's not about the amount of insurance that you can cover. There's no public infrastructure around it, or not enough. The public intervention is only at the very extreme, you know, or for the longest period of time. That's why people think Xiao Lang Keng very scary, like Bangkok Green, like very eerie, like this thing, you know, like, so it's like,
no,
you know,
and that's where the Skills Future come in. Do you know, if you go under Skills Future, you check, right? There is a series of programs that you can actually learn to actually self-heal yourself, to learn. It's available for us.
I don't disagree with those things. I think those are good, right? But the institutions need to be a little bit broader in my view, right? Like it needs to cover, because they used to only cover the most extreme. You need to cover a little bit more, the mass majority. That it's not about just self-healing or going for a program. Sometimes you really do need that slightly deeper work. And if the institutions don't come in, that means the public healthcare system don't come in and anchor this space, you end up having a lot of profiteering in the private healthcare. And it doesn't mean they're lousy, it's just they're very expensive. Right, highest bidders first, right, in the market, right? So they're very expensive. So a lot of people get priced up of it, right? And no matter how much insurance you buy, it will never be cheap because there's no public healthcare to anchor on, right? So and that's the part that I think is a structural thing. It takes some time to evolve, and it is changing.
It is changing. There are some measures that are good,
but you know, we need more. Need to do more and agree faster.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's talk about costs. So,
yes,
the three of you have gone for therapy before. I haven't. What is one benefit or one problem that you got solved through therapy that you think wouldn't have happened if you didn't?
I think I had an argument with my girlfriend. So we went for couples therapy. Then the
Together.
Then the therapist just said something that maybe you want to try reacting this way. Would that be more helpful to your girlfriend? Yeah, like, oh yeah, actually that makes sense. So it helped me like escape like my own thoughts into a third party. So I think having a neutral third party like definitely helps. Because sometimes when you argue with a loved one, you're just too into it.
Correct. Right?
You can't really be neutral.
So true.
Yeah. So having a neutral party really helps. And if you go to like my friend, they'll take my side. You go to her friend, they'll take her side.
Exactly. Form your own echo chamber.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think it helps in that way.
How about you, Eric?
No, 100%, right? I'm a big believer.
So
and
what's
advocate.
One example?
I wasn't that confident when I was young, right? Because I don't have my own voice. And I remembered when I went through coaching for the very first time, I was in uni, right? And I pride myself for being into personal development. I love things, but I never seem to see any success in anything I do. I attend a lot of self-help. I'm a seminar junkie, basically. Yeah. But I can never see any results in my life.
You're on the circuit.
I was in the circuit. Yeah. So I just rah-rah-lah, right? Then I went to this coach. And one of the exercises I did during the life coaching session was to write down all your goals. Then I was like, so easy. I already know my goals. So I wrote down everything faster than everybody else. Then I was just trying to show off, like I shake leg just so that I've done you know. And then the coach looked at me and said, show me your list. And then he looked at my list. Then he said, okay, I'll give you one additional homework. You draw a line in between. Beside it, write down who told you to set out this goal. I was like, that's a weird question to ask. And then I started doing. Halfway through, I started breaking down in tears. Because I realized that, see, that's the realization by asking the right question, that none of these goals were actually what I wanted. It's my mom, my teacher, society, everybody. Then he said, so Eric, you haven't done your work yet. What do you want? That was one of the fundamental, most powerful moments for
me. And after that, that was when you started getting real success.
That's when I started setting goals that I really want. And I'm not doing any more things to get validated. Not because I, since young, as I said, like I never get validation. I realized that all I wanted was to be validated by my dad. Right, and when I went to my dad and said, "Dad, are you proud of me as a son?" And when my dad said, "I'm proud of you. You don't have to do anything. I'm proud of you." When I heard that, then my entire burden dropped. I don't have to do anything to make my dad proud because he's already proud. Which means now, oh my God, I got a freedom to do whatever I want. That changes everything. It was so profound moment for me.
That's awesome that your dad will say, congratulations. I mean, it must have been like a big moment, right?
But it was so embarrassing moment for me because like me and my dad were not very close relationship-wise. So it takes a lot of courage to have to hear that. But that's fundamentally, at least my own learning journey, that wow, that's why I love it. I love that moment.
Do you tell your dad you were proud of him too?
Huh? No, he will have to do his own therapy.
You were not proud of him.
There's a part two to that story. Part two to the story was, I sent my dad to the same program. And that was when I realized that, because my dad remarried, so my mom is his second wife. And I didn't know that my dad carried so much guilt for his first wife. Didn't know that. Wow. He was carrying so much. So my dad always thinks he's a useless. Useless is a common word that he always uses.
Oh my God, useless. Yeah, that's even worse. Right?
He thinks that because he doesn't study hard as a taxi driver, he really thinks the least of him. And I cried when I saw him read out that. Even now, I'm feeling emotional. At the back, I was supporting at the back. And he cried when writing that letter. He felt so guilty. And I realized because of his guilt, that's why he can never love my current mom. Everything is compensation. That's why I say that. But when the time is ready, we have to trust that when the time is ready, the person will be ready. But yes, you should never force it on the person. The last thing you ever want to do with your loved one, right, and your couple is, I think you better need therapy work. That's horrible.
Oh my God, but it's increasingly common. It's horrible. Yes, yes.
It's irresponsible because therapy is something a person needs to be responsible for and they need to want it, but you cannot use it as a weapon.
Wow, that's really powerful. Really, what about you? Your story of how therapy.
I have a darker part than some of these stories. Maybe a bit closer to you. So I went for therapy and one of the biggest king was more like abuse. Right? So I grew up in a very abusive household. My experience with therapy is first session is quite lame one because you don't trust the person. Right? And to be clear, you may say you trust your friend, but a lot of your friends will not want to be your therapist if they are professionals. Right? So a lot of my friends, they are like therapists or like psychologists. They'll be like, I don't really want to be I don't want you to be my client because it's very hard for them to separate and then they know so much about you that it also affects their social life with you. Right? So a lot of therapists will not want to therapy their friends. So in other words, you got to find someone that is a bit more random, right? In that sense. So they'll recommend you their friends. So I went for a few sessions. The first session is quite lame one, because you don't trust the person. They're finding you. You're finding them. You know, kind of sense each other. But because they have a professional ground, you already start to share a little bit.
Mm.
But I remember the most vivid experience was when we were actually playing a sandbox. So this, I work with an art therapist. We were playing a sandbox. And she was like, okay, there are all these different things, figures, toys on the side. Maybe you can, you know, build something, tell me what you want, or like build something to represent you, right? And then, I mean, there are many different things. Two things I want to highlight. One thing was I actually put a figurine behind or on top of a dinosaur, right? And then the other one was like a Big Ben, you know, like the London Big Ben.
Mm.
Yeah, so as we were talking, so after you play this, you set up this thing, the therapist come in and started to hypothesize, what are you feeling? And she said that, actually, I think you really want to be protected. That's why you put a figurine on a dinosaur. At that moment, I was like, wow, wallowing and everything. So it was like an outright breakdown, you know, and that was a little bit of an awakening. Of course, I don't have an answer immediately at that point in time, right? But it's a signal. Right, it's a signal that kind of drives clarity, right? And eventually I worked through some of these things and realized it is a lot of horrible parenting experiences at home for all sorts of reasons. Some, you know, induced by them, some even transgenerational, right? Your parents get traumatized by their parents, they continue to pass down that shit. Some is societal, blah, blah, blah. That's why therapy was very impactful for me for a period of time. And then I went around preaching on this thing, right? Oh, you should have therapy. I said, it's really bad about that kind of stuff, right?
And so you were part of the commercialization.
No, but I was before the commercialization. I was like way ahead of the wave, you know, maybe 5 years ago. Of course, I know it doesn't work like that now, right? But yeah, it is impactful for me, but I don't think everybody should go in straight away. And you should kind of maybe read more, learn more, talk to your friends, build the trust circle, you know, and slowly, eventually, you'll find that some problems are sticky and hard to solve and the ideas in your head don't serve you anymore. Then I think that's when therapy is very important, not just powerful anymore, it's important.
Right? I think it goes down to the value and cost, right? Because in all three of your stories, you all had a problem or something that was made the money worth it. But for someone who is being offered therapy as like a weapon by other people, they may not recognize that they this problem or I it's something I want to pay to solve. So until that becomes a fungible, tangible problem for them, they wouldn't want to go for therapy. Yeah.
But
do you know if you're in Singapore right now, you can actually just go to REACH, R-E-A-C-H. There are free counselors for you to talk to. So you don't have to pay. And HPB, Health Promotion Board, is doing a lot of free mental wellness workshops too. So that answers your question about what institutions are doing. So that's part of it, the beginning. So don't worry about cost because, I mean, we're all aware that this whole COVID kind of make us claustrophobic and make us look at ourselves, right?
Yeah.
It's a catalyst. But yeah, there's help.
And I think as parents, what struck me really hard, especially for both of your stories, was that I hope I don't cause that trauma to my kid, and the way I parent will not cause them to need to go for therapy or too much therapy in the future. While some things are out of control.
Which is why there's this new school of thought called conscious parenting.
Yeah.
So don't worry. I mean, we all damage our kids, but but the thing is that now that you're aware, things are going to change.
And I would say, even if you end up causing hurt to your kids, right, at some point you are still in power to lead the healing.
Well said.
Right,
but provided I recognize
the hurt. Exactly. So shout out to you parents out there, right? Okay, maybe if you're 30 plus, which is most of our audience, right, maybe not him lah.
Oh, I need mental wellness.
We are 30 plus, which is most of us in our audience. Your kids are probably very young. You are young parents. So at this point in time, you are learning on the go. Okay, great. You know, I think parenting has become a more conscious effort these days already with more and more learnings, right? And that's an extended discussion. But if you are in your 40s, which is also a big part of the audience, your kids may be in their teens. Right, and then that's the part where you start to see the divergence, right? Because it's like throwing a dart, right? Everybody starts with the same point, but the divergence become bigger and bigger and bigger as you go further. And there is a point in time where if you become more conscious, like if you're consuming this piece of content and you're becoming more conscious that you know, your kid very dissociated when they're with you. They don't really want to hang out with you. They don't want to travel with you. You feel like you're bringing them happy time, but they're not happy at all. You know, all that kind of stuff. Then you are in power and in a better position to solve the problem. Yeah. Right? Just like your managers, right? If the manager is in power, is in the superior position, what is stopping you from leading that charge to kind of solve it? Rather than hoping that one day your kid will muscle. Because I think it muscles more courage for the other.
Kid
yes,
to, do
to
it,
go
yeah.
back. It's the other. So, in other words, the resistance is higher. Right? And then it reduces your probability. Lah. Does not mean it's good or bad. I'm not making a moral judgment. But if you truly care and you are a parent and you see a problem and you are conscious now, probably you're in a more powerful position.
What would be the solution? Drag your kid to therapy?
No. Then it would be the same thing, right?
First, I think.
Yeah,
start
exactly.
Start with yourself first.
So
yourself.
The parent can go for therapy to find out what kind of damage they may have caused to the kid
and then start
working from there.
And I think we're using therapy a bit loosely again, right? Yeah. So maybe more like
working
parent
on yourself.
Groups, like support groups first. And then slowly, as you deep yourself in this space, you get a bit more color on how intense do you need to go for?
Yeah. And also, I think when more awareness of mental health increase, people can minimize the level of trauma they deal on each other.
Yeah.
It also it can also help them solve lower level problems that people don't need to go to therapy to solve. And ironically, that might free up more resources
to help
for everyone, right?
More
serious cases, then you go to therapy. If not, then someone who has went to therapy before, maybe they can help you talk through your issues.
Hmm.
So now I think you have to jump the gun and go straight into it.
Yep.
Hmm.
So that might increase as mental awareness and mental health gains more.
Agree.
Awareness.
And it's happening, right? I mean, at least there's lesser stigma. You know, last time we always joke about, oh, you're crazy, you go Woodbridge Hospital, right? People use that. But now...
At least I use Bangkok Green,
Mine's, I'm from the 1980s.
Even earlier, Woodbridge, Pan Chiao.
I love why Raymond said that actually it will get better. That as people are getting more and more conscious and more self-aware, it will get better. So I think the fundamental thing is to remember you can't help others.
You can only help your kids.
You can't help because the person needs to be helped, want to be helped before you can help. Even professionals can't help them if they don't want to be helped. So don't feel helpless. Just work on yourself because by virtue of you working on yourself, you impact everybody around you.
It does. Yeah. I feel like,
in a positive way.
As I work through more and more of these kind of things, I also become more conscious and supportive of people. But I will also say that, organizations use trauma in a way to keep you in line. Okay? They cause a lot of pain for you to keep you in line, right? Like in the military or, in a lot of things. So this kind of pain, pleasure, reward structure taken too far becomes a trauma. Okay? So I don't agree that one day there will be no more trauma. No. It is used and weaponized in a very smart way for organizations to keep you in line.
So as long as we recognize that being a problem, then we can find the tools. In this case, it could be therapy to get us out of it.
Yes.
But if we're in it, we don't recognize it, or we don't even feel it's a problem,
then it's
okay to just let it be.
Yeah, yes.
If it's not a problem, it's fine.
Yeah, live in your matrix world.
No, everyone is living in their own matrix world. Okay, that's a different argument. But I agree with you, right? And the thing is, sometimes when we shift out of a particular organization, we find so hard to, live in a new place because all these old ideas in another place is so deeply cemented in us, right? So we find so much resistance and friction and displeasure in this new place. And sometimes, right, people do it on a day-to-day basis, at home, at work, at home, at work, at home, at work, right? And this is a big part of modern life where you transcend multiple environments within a short span of time. And I think that's the part that if you're a little bit more aware, then you can be a bit more nimble. Lah. Some environments like that, and you may not like it, but this is how it is. You live here and you thrive here.
Yep.
Right? And then you go to another place. Don't need to take too much of that with you. Does it make sense?
No, this is why fundamentally, if we want to land today's topic, right, I think number one is to increase your self-awareness, to start asking the right questions, like why do you behave the way you behave, and keep working on yourself. Because I'm of a belief, it's my belief, that the sole purpose of us as a human being here on earth is to evolve, is to become the best version of ourselves. And everything around us are just vehicles for our evolution, our careers, our relationships. And if today we start to see problems as just a chance for us to evolve, then we would, instead of, bitch, moan and whine about a problem, we start to see problems as a reminder, oh, I need to work on myself, because it points to a certain inadequacy. And I go proactively look for it. Mentor, friends, therapy, coaches, doesn't matter. But if everybody start doing that, oh my God, the world is going to be so beautiful.
No, but bitch, moan, and whine is also an important process of this whole thing.
The when problem is it becomes a cycle, yes, and people don't
exactly
get out of it.
Exactly. When it becomes a cesspool and you're stuck within it and you feel like you want to get out, that is when the problem comes. You know, sometimes people just need a little bit of comfort. You know, like we're stuck here for 2 years and then like, Bangkok, enough. Everything's settled. You don't hear anymore.
Yeah, that's right? Why you don't need therapy.
Yeah, you don't need therapy already, right? So maybe you just need a relief, or maybe you just need like a gathering, a bunch of guys gather together, drink and talk about it, or a bunch of sisters gather together, whatever, right? You just need that moan, that bitch. And sometimes it's just that, have you not seen the financial area? Everyone downstairs bitching, right? Like, they're upstairs, they put a LinkedIn post, I want to appreciate my boss, blah, blah, blah. Then you go to the bar downstairs at MBFC. Wow, what can he jiang? Right? So it is, and that is an important part of them finding comfort and soothing. It may not be a problem with them, you know. It is just them as a way to cope with the situation.
Coping mechanism.
Yeah, which is not inherently a bad thing. Okay, but if you get stuck in the coping mechanism and you want to get out, that's the problem, and then you got to solve the belief. And then the deeper problem comes in. You know what I'm saying?
So, no, totally. Yeah,
validity in coping is...
Have you ever had a conscious friend? Like, okay, I'm just bitching about my husband, okay, but we're okay one.
Yeah, so, I do that
so,
one.
Yeah, so that's called conscious. So I'm just going to okay, I'm done. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's true. I always...
So if we have that kind of awareness, like, wow.
Yes, I text my friend, okay, we're going to meet tomorrow and I really need to talk about this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be nice. Please hold space for me. And then they'll be like, okay. Okay.
No, but this skill is beautiful. Can you imagine if more people have that skill?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, you can sign up for my link here.
Oh, you're going to be a therapy,
you know? I don't know. But yes. Okay, great. Yeah.
I like this because like I came into this conversation thinking that it's a straight out no for me. Yeah. I don't see the value and I don't see how to justify the cost of therapy since I don't find it a problem that I need to fix. But I really like the perspectives and colors that you guys gave. Like, you know, for a couple therapy might be helpful because it's very hard to find that neutral third party who can advise both of you, and then both people are listening and not thinking, you're just saying this because you're on his side or her side. So that could be worth the price, the value. And so of course, then a better relationship. And then for your case, it could be like, you just don't know, it's something unconscious. So then the therapy could be asking you the right questions. And because you don't know what you don't know, the value of the therapist could be in helping you discover and guide you to the route. But don't go in expecting the therapist to give you all the answers because they're only guiding you so you can find your own answers.
So maybe that's how you know whether they are real, legit or not. If ever a therapist come to you and say, oh, let me give you the solution, that's not a legit therapist.
Because the solution lies with you.
Exactly. There's no such thing as someone can give you all the solutions. Yeah. Maybe that's how you check red flags.
Yeah. And then the last part is, if you can, you could get free resources and, you know, there's like online, there's friends, trusted people, but also like
Reach and HPB
and all these different modes and programs out there. But at the end of the day, I think it's really just recognizing, don't let society commercialize it. It's trying to commercialize it. So let's be conscious of it and only seek it out when it's a problem. We need the value.
Yeah, I feel like HPB need to sponsor this episode. I will send you an email.
I can forward them.
Yes, please forward them. I think they need to
sponsor. Then we'll do part two.
Part two. We can share.
Any other things, Rimeng?
No,
Anything you picked up?
I think...
How about say one thing that was most impactful for you?
I hate this kind of thing. Can you all go first?
I say three things, so I'm good.
Yeah, she said three things.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh wait, it's still on me.
Yes, it's still on me.
We said a lot.
He said a lot.
I said a lot.
I said a lot.
So any last things? You're the guest, you must say something.
Yeah. I know. Wait. You're pressurizing me.
Yeah, I am.
You're causing me trauma. Yeah, you're causing me trauma. You're putting me in a spot.
Yeah, weaponizing this now.
I got a point to say, but I don't think you'll wrap up the podcast.
I think
sometimes self-care is not just about like taking like a wellness break or going for a massage or like going to Bali. Sometimes self-care means doing the tough things, you know. And sometimes that means like looking after your finances, having difficult conversations. And I think all the self-care has kind of been, this very, can be very portrayed, this very fluffy thing. Like it just it's all like good and nice things. But actually, sometimes self-care means doing the tough things.
I know what you're leading to. Yes. Self-care is often misinterpreted as pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things that will make you feel pleasure. But the truth is self-care also is about growth. And growth doesn't come until you acknowledge and do all the difficult things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Someone gave a very good word to that. It's called personal admin. Yeah. Personal administrative time.
Wait, isn't that from NS?
Is it?
Yeah.
PAT,
PAT.
Is it NS?
Yeah, NS, they use it.
Oh.
Personal administrative time.
Yeah, after 7 PM, you have your personal admin time. Then you meet for night snacks.
Oh.
Yeah, you know
don't go there. Don't go there. Very traumatic.
Okay. Let's not do it then.
Maybe next episode. Any last things, Eric?
No, I love today's call. I love being challenged. I love hearing everybody's perspective because you might have to bear in mind that I come from that world, right? And so I'm all about 100%, but I see the nuances and I hate that people are abusing it, commercializing it. So it just makes me feel like we need to educate. Everybody needs to be more discerning. So that they can pick the right people. Otherwise, the wrong shenanigans will spoil the market for all of us.
And then, okay, I want to say that I'm not against commercialization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just cautioning the excessiveness of it. Right, such that it becomes the next big thing and people use it as a weapon and you know you kind of force it on everyone else that I do think that we all need some space and which is why I think one of the episodes we talk about honesty we will talk about that. I don't know, is it before or after, but being honest with yourself, I think that's the base to start.
And that's why you guys listen to Wise and Shine so that you can recognize before it becomes excessive and stop it from
getting there. Exactly. Thank you guys, love it.
Woo! Thank you.